I want to start with a little bit of a story, and it will take a few minutes to tell it probably, but just to make my point. Several years ago, I had a niece that was having really bad headaches. Didn't have any insurance, wouldn't go to the doctor. Finally, she had to go, and they discovered, they did a scan, and found she had a huge brain tumor. I mean, maybe the size of an egg in the back of her skull. Had to do surgery to save her life, but they wouldn't do it. She didn't have any money, no insurance. They said, we'll do the surgery, but we need you to raise, we need $15,000 before we'll start. She was living with my mother, who had no money. My mother's looking to take out a loan. It was really stressing her really bad because she had no money to pay it back with. You know, she's living on minimum income. And she had some rental houses, but couldn't sell them in time. She would buy houses in Kansas. The real estate market was very depressed. So she'd buy a house for $2,000 or $3,000. A house with property. Fix it up. And rent it out. And she had, I think, five of those at the time or something nearby. And if you sold them, none of them were worth $15,000. I think one was. Anyway, she's got to raise $15,000. So she went to the bank to take out a loan, and the payment was going to be what was going to really just really overwhelm her. And so she's really stressed. This is my mother. She's really stressed. Call me talking about it. Well, we didn't have any money. I don't know if we could have took out a loan or not. Certainly not in the time frame they needed it. And so Patty's mother had just sold her house and had some money in the bank, probably collecting less than 0.25% interest. You know how that works, right? So I went to Patty's mother and I says, I have a favor. Can I borrow $15,000 from you at 2% interest? 2%, we could do. And the arrangement I set up with my mother is, I'm going to borrow this money on your behalf, and you're not going to pay it back. At whatever time you leave the planet, we'll take it out of your estate. Because then the properties have to be sold, and we'll settle out of the estate. That way you don't have to face with it now. It's kind of one of those future loans that you're not responsible for. She loved it. Everybody agreed. So we took out the loan, paid the money, they did the surgery on my niece, saved her life. And once my mother had the loan money and the surgery could be done, all the stress left her. Now that was given for example. And it's of course paid back now. My mother's passed. Everything's paid off. Here's my question. Was that a natural solution, or was there something supernatural about it?
Supernatural.
Natural. Anybody could have done that.
Yeah.
There was no miracle with that. That was just working out a deal in the natural. So if this take place, and it was a natural surgery, niece was not a Christian, but praise God, you know, she lived through it. That's been probably 10 years ago now or something like that, yes.
But it was supernatural that God worked it out that you ought to do that.
That I can access wisdom, yes, there's a supernatural component to that.
Yeah.
But I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to make a point out of this. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean?
Don't fret or have anxiety.
Don't worry. Don't have anxiety. Don't fret. Don't stress. You follow me?
Right.
In everything. Don't worry. Now, here's the thing. It's easier to say don't worry than to do it. Worry has a problem. Once you're buried, it tends to resurrect quite often. Because what? The problem causing the stress is not resolved. My mother's stress was not resolved until the problem causing the stress was taken care of.
Yeah.
Do you follow me on that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here he says, be careful for nothing. Like you can just do that. But the verse doesn't stop there. By prayer and supplication. See, so many people in the world, when they get stressed, they want to find a way to resolve the source of the stress. I need to pay this off. I need to get rid of this person. I need to do, you know, separate from this. I need, these problems are just challenging me and I'm being totally, you know, bombarded. So they want to get rid of the source of the bombardment.
Yes.
But God says, I've got another way to do it. It's through prayer and supplication. God said there's a way you can tap into something through prayer and supplication, which is just a form of request unto God. Bringing your request before God. By prayer and supplication, let your request be known. And God says, I'll take care of it through that method. Now, how many people do you know in the world, or just even in church, say outside this church, that they're going through a major challenge? Maybe there's a health issue they're facing, or a financial issue, or a relationship issue, something with the kids. And they say, man, I'm just so overwhelmed right now with this. You say, well, you should just pray and bring God some supplications. Most people want to slap you. I pray. I believe in God. Do you follow me? But they don't believe anything that you're recommending would have any effect on the stress they're experiencing. It must be more than just being a person that can pray. It must be a type of prayer that taps into something to relieve
yes.
stress.
From the heart.
Yes.
See, the world's method of getting rid of stress is getting rid of the source of the stress.
Yes.
God's way of getting rid of stress is finding something more powerful than the source of the stress that you tap into that resolves the challenges in your life. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, last week we started talking about a supernatural peace that God has.
Yes.
And we compared it to the drug life, the tranquilizers the world takes. What was the song that they sang? Was it the Stones sang way back? Mother's Little Helper? Pill that the women used to take all the time because they thought it was just doctors prescribed it. You're taking barbiturates. Because you can't handle the challenges of life. Let's just drug it away. But God's got a supernatural drug called peace.
Amen.
He wants us to tap in through prayer and supplication. Let's read that verse again. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, keep your praise on. Do you remember the steps to tapping into the glory of God? The presence of God? The intense presence?
Prayer.
You're afraid, huh? You gotta get it right. A life of praise and thanksgiving. Right? Being all in. What was the third one?
Holiness.
That's actually number one. Holiness. Well, here he's talking about in everything. That's all in. Right? Let your request be made. Oh, with thanksgiving, there's the praise. Let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, say peace.
Peace.
The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's what I wanted to get to. When I explained the story about my mother getting relieved of the pressure, I could have told that to a group of 1,000 unbelievers that would have understood it. Yeah, that's a good idea. That was really sharp. You took out a loan from somebody else. You paid your mom to pay the doctor bill and doesn't have to be paid till she's gone. That's a great solution. And it worked great for the most part. To some other family members. Anyway. It worked great. And people, even unbelievers, say that was, I understand that. And they'd start giving testimonies. I did something like that myself. God says, that's not the peace I offer.
Right.
Nothing nothing wrong with that. But God's got a superior peace, he says, that passes all understanding.
Yes, yes.
That people won't understand. People in the church won't understand it. And God's got a peace that's supernatural, so phenomenal, that you can be going through major challenges that will put most people down on the floor. We had testimonies a while ago about some people thankful for this church and for this Pastor Appreciation Week or month or whatever, and they were thankful for the effect I'd had on their life. And they said, and we know what you go through, and you always have this calmness. It's a peace that passes knowledge. There's a peace God has. It's more than just the absence of problems, because I've got challenges. I mean, I'm married to somebody who has me living in an igloo. Anyway, I've got challenges, but I've got a God bigger than my challenges, who's got a peace that's stronger than any stress the devil would try to produce. Amen. I mean, we used to have a thing. If we were in the world back in our former life, if we're going through a problem, we said, well, smoke this. Well, I smoked it, didn't work. Well, then take this. Drink this with smoking bad and take it good, you know. Until you feel the chill. God's got a chill, if you know what I'm talking about, that's supernatural without taking anything.
That's right.
And it's really an aspect of his presence upon our life. But if there's a peace that passes under all understanding, which means, listen, this peace must be supernatural. Are you following me? Go to Galatians. Wrong direction. What am I doing here? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Now here it says there's the fruit that you can produce out of your spirit, and I believe it can be either capitalized or not capitalized because it's something you develop. But it's a result of the Spirit of God working in your life. And it starts off with the fruit of the Spirit is love. Singular. Love. That's a singular word.
Yes.
The fruit is love. And we've shared it in here many times. There's a natural human love. A few different forms of it. And there's a supernatural love you can only have if you're born again.
Yes.
Right? The agape of God transcends human understanding. It's unattainable to walk in this without a developed relationship with God, that you've gone from faith to virtue to temperance to patience to knowledge all the way through these steps. But the agape of God is supernatural.
Yes.
In fact, hold this spot. Let's turn there. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Just so you can see this point I'm making. 1 John chapter 3. And then go to chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. See the word love there? I'm in verse 7.
Yeah.
Let us love one another. The word love there is the word agapeo in the Greek. It's the verb form of agape. Let us release supernatural love to one another. And everyone that loveth, that's walking in this, is born of God and knoweth God. Here it says you cannot walk in this supernatural love unless first you're born again.
That's right.
So the world cannot even access it.
That's right.
Oh, we carry it. They'll taste of it, but they can't carry it themselves. It says they are born again and they know God. Verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. It's not enough to be born again. You've got to develop a knowledge of the Word and the walk with God, the relationship, the fellowship, to tap into this. So it's a love. Listen, it's a love that passes understanding.
Yes.
It's a love that's supernatural. The joy of the Lord. There's a natural joy. There's a natural joy when things go just right for you. You know, it's birthed out of a happiness and you're having a great day. Everything's going well and you have joy. There's a joy you can tap into.
Yeah.
But have you belly laughing when things aren't going well at all?
Amen.
The first time I saw this demonstrated was way back in the 90s. Maybe in the 80s. I think it was the late 80s, early 90s. Apostle Callan came to our house one night. We'd had some friends, the Houstons, over. And he said, "I got a videotape of this guy. I've never heard of him, but I was told to watch this tape." We sat in our living room and watched this, and it was Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. I think at the time he was riding hard ground. I don't think he was a doctor yet. And he was holding a meeting, a lot of people there, and people were just busting out laughing. Now, he's not a funny teacher. He's not telling any jokes. He's not as hilarious as I am. See, there was your amen opportunity. He's from South Africa. Very dry, monotone. He's going like, "And the Bible says, turn with me to this." And people just start busting out laughing. And he carried an anointing of supernatural joy. And finally he had prayer lines. Finally he couldn't preach because everybody's roaring laughing. And don't know why. We're watching this videotape and people come up. Or he just walked back to him. And he go, "I command you to laugh." And they go, next thing I know, they're on the floor belly laughing and cannot stop. And he's doing it. Everybody's going, everybody talks to him. "Let it bubble out." He touched it. "Let it bubble out of your belly." And they just jumping up on the, "I can't believe all that." You've never tapped into it.
That's right.
Because it passes understanding. We can't comprehend it. But it was real.
Yep.
I've gotten into his meetings quite a few times now. It's real. Can I carry with this story a little bit? So we're watching his video, and we're all going, "I don't know about this," just like you're doing right now. This sounds a bit out there. And Kathy Houston, Kathy's a very logical thinking, somewhat stoic woman, goes to the restroom, and all of a sudden we hear her coming out of the restroom, and she's in the floor of our bathroom, belly laughing, and can't get up, and goes on and on. She, 20 minutes or so, she's in there laughing.
Yeah.
Now we're rolling.
Yeah.
Off watching the video it got on her in the bathroom, and she's basically pinned to the floor. So I've been to his meeting several times, and it would have been 1993, I think it was. We went to a charismatic ministers convention in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at ORU. And it's every major charismatic minister in the world is in this meeting for the most part. And they're taking turns. It's 3 days and several speakers a day. The main speaker, Benny Hinn was there, he was one. But the main speaker was Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. He gets up and starts this thing, just teaching the word. It starts breaking out. We're talking about, I don't know how many people, but maybe center holds thousands. Holy Ghost Christians. It starts buzzing and it's hitting everyone. Boom, boom. Next thing you know, the whole place is erupting. Well, Apostle Callan had something that he liked to get out ahead of time to get to the restaurants first. Doesn't sound spiritual, but he liked pie. He always sat in the back. He didn't like crowds. He was very much like that. So we go to leave, and we've got about, 10 of our people or so, or maybe more than that. We all flew out there as a group. We start down the steps, and the laughter hit Pastor Lee. He can't even stand. He rolls down the steps. He's down on the next level on the floor on his back, laughing so hard. A couple others, it hits them. They're stumbling down the steps. Some religious lady who came, I looked at Pastor Lee, and scowled at him like, "How dare you laugh in church? We're busting. We have to carry Pastor Lee." I don't remember who the other ones. We had to carry them to the car. They could not walk. I don't believe it's beyond understanding. It was a supernatural impartation of joy.
Yes.
That is available to us.
That's right.
And the people laughing, it could have been some of the people laughing had the most challenges of anybody around. Because it was the Spirit of God coming on you saying, "I can deliver you from this. Ha 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 ha." And I've tapped into it in church a few times before. Beyond comprehension. So back to Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Supernatural. Joy is supernatural. Peace, just the absence of problems. No. It's peace supernatural. Peace that passes knowledge. And let me tell you how to recognize this peace. Is one of the number one components affecting your emotional status when you get under an intense level of the presence of God. The presence of God comes on, you're worshiping, you're in a service, all of a sudden, ooh. It hits a lot of people just coming to church and worshiping. It's amazing how many people come to church and they just had a knockdown drag out with their spouse or their kids on the way in. You know, there's a smile by faith coming in. And they walk in and the presence of God hits them all of a sudden like, who cares?
Yeah. Amen.
A peace beyond natural comprehension. And God said, we have access to it. We talked about last week. Jesus told the disciples, when you go out ahead of me to these cities, there'll be a peace on you. A presence of the Holy Spirit. And whatever house you go in, if they receive you, let that peace settle on the house. If they reject you, pull it back. Take it with you. It's a peace that's not just on you. It's on those who come in connection with you, just like love and joy are. Joy is contagious.
Yes.
One of the things I was really drawn to my wife on, well, first I thought she was just a knockout, you know. Gorgeous girl. Athletic. Patty was so athletic. I know maybe now it's hard to imagine. But when she was in her 20s, she was a gazelle. She'd take a step or two and start doing flips one after another without ever touching her hands. Aerials. Just feet to feet and sideways, backwards, frontwards. I'm going, glory to God. But one of the things that really drawn me was she laughed so much. And she laughed at my stupid jokes. That was really good.
She still does. Huh? She still does.
She said that?
She still does.
Still does, yeah. She just didn't think much like her laugh, and I just really admired that. And He's got a joy for us. That is supernatural, that's contagious.
Amen.
And you can get around people going through major challenges. You know, have Eeyore syndrome. You know what Eeyore syndrome is, right?
Woe is me.
And that joy will hit them. But it's got a peace we can affect households with. We can carry it with us. But you remember, it said in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You got to pray for it. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will come upon you. You got to use your faith for it. Things in the kingdom don't happen by accident. I pray every day, for supernatural agape on my life. And I haven't even started to scratch the surface of what's available. Because I've been in the real thing. I want it all.
Yeah.
I've been in joy. I want to live in it.
Yeah.
You won't be able to get anything done, but you'll be happy in it. And the peace is able to saturate households. Bring calm to the riotous attitudes of so many people in the nation right now in the world. We can use our faith to tap into. And so when you go to Galatians 5, I recommend you circle this or make a note. Confess this. Go to Galatians 5 and confess each of these in your life supernaturally. We could go through the whole list, but that's not the agenda. Long-suffering means the ability to tolerate people who may not be doing what you like. Do you follow me? We can't get caught up in this anger of the world right now.
That's right.
People want other people assassinated. We've got to get a hold of long-suffering. Supernatural. Each one of these fruit are supernatural. And the peace that passes understanding is a main component of walking in the presence of God. You can walk in the presence of God and not have extreme joy. You have fulfillment. But you will have definitely pretty much always have peace. Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he said, when you go, you enter a household that receive you, let your joy rest on that house. That's not what he said.
Peace.
Peace. Peace is a result of carrying the Spirit of God on your life. And if you tap into it supernaturally, it doesn't matter what the devil tries to do, you're good with it. Pat and I recently found out, we have a friend was diagnosed with stage 2 or stage 3 breast cancer. They've not decided a course of action yet. But in communicating with her, she's a strong Christian. She says, I can't explain it, but I have such peace. I can't explain it means it passes understanding. The peace she's talking about is supernatural. And it's more than knowing the problem's still there. But it's knowing she serves a God bigger than the problem and an anointing coming on her through worship and tapping into the things of the kingdom. How do you know such diagnosis will get you to turn to God?
Yeah.
Tapping into a peace that passes knowledge. And I believe she'll be totally recovered from this. But if she wasn't, she knows where she's going. Praise God for supernatural peace. I'm still in the introduction today. Turn to Isaiah. Because I gave this teaser last week and I still haven't gotten to it. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. This is a prophecy by Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus. It says there's going to be a work of righteousness that'll produce supernatural peace. How do you know nobody was righteous before the cross? To Jesus, nobody was righteous. Abraham was never righteous. Moses wasn't righteous. All but David. In fact, they had to wait till Jesus to even get to heaven. They were held in Abraham's bosom near hell until that time. Right?
Yes.
Follow the teaching. But Isaiah prophesies there's coming a time that there's going to be a revelation of righteousness released. A work of righteousness, the work of righteousness. That's going to produce a peace that's beyond what the world can comprehend. And when you got born again, God did the greatest miracle you'll ever know inside of you.
Yes.
If you've given your life to Jesus, mm-hmm. you said, Jesus, I accept you as Lord. You can do it right now. Y'all repeat after me. Jesus.
Jesus.
I've made you my Lord and Savior.
I've made you my Lord and Savior.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Deliver me from sin.
Deliver me from sin.
Establish me in righteousness.
I
receive your salvation.
And your lordship.
Now, if you just said that for the first time and you said it for real, you just got born again. You may not have felt a thing. I didn't feel nothing when I got saved. Most people probably don't. But God did a miracle. He came inside of you in the area inside of you beyond natural feeling. Your five senses are used to detecting what you feel on the outward. I mean, in the first heaven realm, the natural realm. Your second heaven senses, which are emotions, your thoughts, detect stuff in the soul realm. But you are actually a spirit man that God rebirthed through salvation that has different senses that you're not used to tapping into. And God did a miracle that He reached inside of you, took out all the sin nature out of you, jerked it out, threw it away, and put in you His very own heart of agape love, a new nature. Whether you know it or not, your desires just transformed. They just changed. Now you want the things of God. Now you want to walk in love. You want to walk in truth. The miracle of being born again. But the part we want to focus on here is righteousness. When you got saved because God took out that nature, He made you a new creation. And it says you were made the righteousness of God in Him. God made you a new person that never existed before the cross. Oh, before Jesus. A person with a nature of God on the inside. See, when Adam fell, God said, sin is into the world, and all that are born of women are born into this sin. This nature, this fallen nature. You're born with it. And until Jesus came on the scene, everybody had that self-serving, selfish mentality, that me first desire on the inside, that is really the birthplace of sin. But Jesus came along, not born. I need to put this in. Part of the word says the sins of the Father passed down to the Son. Everybody had a natural father. Whatever sin nature was on them was passed down to them, including a lot of demonic familiar spirits are passed down. But Jesus did not have a natural father. The Holy Spirit was His Father. So the nature of the Holy Spirit was passed to Jesus. He was the first one ever on earth, at least since Adam, potentially, to have a righteous nature.
Yes.
A nature without sin.
Amen.
But through the cross, see, before the cross, Jesus was called the only begotten Son of God. We've talked about this before, right? Did you know he was never called that again after the cross? Before the cross, He was the only begotten Son. After the cross, He was called the firstborn among many brethren.
Yes.
To the cross, God recreated you as if you had been conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because you were when you accepted Jesus, the Spirit of God came inside of you and rebirthed your nature, delivered you from a sin attitude, a sin desire, a sin nature, and made you righteous.
Amen.
And because He made you righteous, the Holy Ghost can come and live within you versus just be on you. You have full access to the presence of God at any time if you just pursue it. And now, because you've been made righteous, you have peace with God. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Peace with God. But it's also peace within. Because all of a sudden, now that you're born again, there's no longer that sin destructive attitude within tearing you apart. Now there's fulfillment on the inside. There's contentedness if you recognize what happened in your thinking. I'm trying to think how to explain this best. But there's the ability to tap into a supernatural peace that the righteousness of God nature qualified you for.
Yes.
You think how to relate this? Because you've been made righteous, it's qualified you to walk in divine healing.
Yes.
Divine health. God's made provision for us to never have to be sick another day if we'll tap into it.
That's right.
Because of the cross, because of what he paid through that crucifixion experience, he bought for us divine healing and health. The same thing is true with the peace.
Yes.
But we talked about this some time back. But when Jesus took the crown of thorns on his head, thorns out of Genesis chapter 3 represent the curse. And Jesus took the curse upon his own mind, upon his own head. Thorns penetrating his scalp and his forehead and their blood running down. To make with us a covenant of peace. He took all the curse, all the worry, all the fear on himself to deliver us from it. A supernatural peace available to us. And so, I need to read my statement. Our personal revelation of righteousness activates us to be qualified to be anointed and empowered and blessed. Now, I'm not going to do this, so nobody get excited, at least not today. But if I said everybody that comes into church next Sunday on time, I'm going to give everybody $100. Who would be qualified to receive the $100?
Me and Casey, Mary and Connor, China.
Here's the answer. Everybody that comes through those doors on time. In other words, coming in qualifies you to receive the $100. Coming into God's kingdom through being born again qualifies you to receive divine health. Qualifies you to receive supernatural peace and even joy. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Righteousness doesn't just rebirth you as a new individual. It now qualifies you because you are a child of God. It qualifies you to receive all the blessings of God.
Amen.
Righteousness is a qualification.
Yeah.
To function in the supernatural. Of course, all the authority was given to us out of that as well. Revelation of the Word. Walking in the fullness of the kingdom. All came out of that righteousness. And it says here, the work of righteousness shall be peace. And I believe one of the main reasons that is because through righteousness, the Spirit of God can live in you and through you and upon you.
Yes.
And the result of that presence upon you is going to be peace.
Yes.
That's why it's so important we move ahead, because this is what God told us a little over a year ago, in pursuing His presence. Because if we'll pursue His presence, you won't have any discombobulation that the world will take us into. And I don't have any worries. Last night I was putting engine in that car. Not last night, yesterday afternoon. It's about dark. And it took me some time. I've got rigged up the chain hoist, the tooth of the chain hoist. I come along, ratchet straps all over to try to balance this thing out to get it right in position. It still wasn't going. I finally figured it was doing wrong. I took care of that. And I got the engine in place. But it wasn't aligned quite right. And I couldn't get it. There's a pin on the torque converter. It's got to snap into the flywheel, and it wasn't aligning quite right. And I'm telling you, in years past, because I've been out there a few hours, I might have got frustrated. I'm listening to teaching tapes. I'm out there praying in the Spirit. I'm enjoying the peace of God. And it's getting all those things that normally would frustrate a person. I'm just going, well, praise God, we'll get it tomorrow. Whatever. Finally, I said, I think it's time to, I said, hear God, it's time to quit. Quit for tonight. Okay. I'll quit for tonight. Turned off the lights, walked in the house, total peace, even though that thing's sitting a half inch or three quarter inch away from where it's supposed to be. Peace. But I knew it would get done. And this morning I got up praying, early this morning praying, and because that's something I'm dealing with, God's going to have me praying about it. And I'm praying in the Spirit, but all of a sudden, I saw the solution. I went out in my good clothes. Greasy garage, my good clothes. Put a jacket on the car, jacked something up a little bit, and I snapped right in. See, if I'd have stayed out there on my own, I want to make this work. Which happened to what God's leading, and I might have broke something. Not on purpose. Not like a videotape or nothing. Peace. Amen. Just by spending time with God and not getting torqued out when it doesn't work on your schedule, your time, your way, trusting God, and things come together. And God wants us to live in that vein of nothing stressing us.
Amen.
God wants us to live in that vein of nothing stressing us. And the key is learning to praise God. Of course, holiness, thanksgiving and praise, and all in. You're qualified. Righteousness qualifies you to walk in holiness, to live in praise, and to be all in. That'll actually have a result in your life supernaturally. So there's a series of maturing steps we take to go into what God has. And the end result of the presence of God. Listen. The fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
Let's stop at love. Is singular. Is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering all the way through. Are manifestations of the love of God on you. Different ways it manifests. Anyway, righteousness qualifies you to live in the rest of the fruit.
Yes.
The rest of the promises of God, the rest of the blessing. But use your faith for it. I know this sounds way beyond what any normal Christian would do, but we're not called to be normal. Oh, now I remember. See, now I remember. Fruit of the Spirit is love.
Yeah.
Love's tapped into it by entertaining the presence of God. Holiness. Thankfulness. All in. And the glory of God is just love that's concentrated. So much just fills the world with that. The word glory in the Greek is the word doxa, and it means the very image, nature, or character of somebody. Your image and nature and character is your glory.
Yes.
And God's nature, image, and character are love. And the glory is basically concentrated love poured out that it spills over the glory. Starts
Amen.
Touching everything around.
Amen.
It all starts with the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Be at peace. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Cause to be people of great expectation, great faith, and walking in great power. And I thank you for supernatural, divine encounters all week for each person in this church. Fill us with people hungry after the word and the Spirit of God. I declare in this church there are none sick. We prophesy, we decree it. There are none in lack. No lack of finances, no lack of friendship, no lack of any resources that they need. Wisdom, we receive wisdom.
Yes.
We thank you that there's no oppression, no discouragement, no feeling hopeless, no suicidal tendencies or thought. We're free of all that.
Yes.
And there's no strife. Oh, no backbiting in this church, no competition for position to be seen. We're here one for another. This is a church of covenant love.
Yes.
Thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.